This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And welcome to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106. My name is David Jenkins. I'm currently joined by Gabe Osborne. Sean Balint will be along here soon as well. We are live from the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Butler for the annual Old Time Tractor Show, as well as the bicentennial 200th birthday of Montgomery County. It is a beautiful day here in Butler, a beautiful day for this event. This is the only day for the bicentennial, Gabe, but I understand the tractor show is a two-day affair.
Yes, the tractor show, two-day affair. This is normally what happens out at the old Lake Hillsboro Park every year in July, but with a once-in-a-lifetime type event like a bicentennial, they thought, why not have everything? There's also a car show. That is going to be held up at the 4-H Park near where they do the showing during the county fair, which we'll be back out here in 2 weeks for the county fair.
Absolutely. So it's a perfect day to come out. I don't think it's officially started. In fact, it doesn't actually technically start, I believe, until 11 o'clock this morning, but it is an all-day event today, 11 to 7. So come out. If you're thinking of something to do, there's something for everyone here at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds. There's plenty to do. We'll be talking with some folks with the Old Time Tractor Show, as I'm sure we'll also be talking with people from the Bicentennial as well. Again, that is going on today from 11 to 7 here at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Butler. We do have some scores to report to you from high school baseball, games that went on last night. I do not have my full score sheet because I did not get it until a few minutes ago. My fault. My email would not open until just now. And the file that had the complete scores, I cannot access it on my mobile device. So, having to go from memory, I will report to you the scores that I know happened, starting with the games that we did cover. A game you heard on WSMI FM 106. Gabe, you didn't do the game, but you produced it, so you know exactly what happened. North Mac, the top seed in that regional, defeated the Litchfield Purple Panthers by a score of 8-2. First of all, before getting into that game, it might have been a surprise to some that Litchfield was in that game because they were underseeded in the quarterfinal matchup against Auburn, and not by much, though. I think it was just an 8-9 matchup, but the Purple Panthers pulled off the upset, you could say, in that one, defeating Auburn. I think that final score was 5-3 to earn themselves a spot in the regional semifinal against North Mac. And they still had a good showing. I mean, 8-2, not a bad loss.
They did have a good showing. At first, though, you thought, all right, maybe this might be one of their last game anyway. I believe the North Mac pitcher, he set down about 8 of his first 9 or 10 batters. He only gave up an error. So he had a no-hitter going, not a perfect game. But then after a while, North Mac had a 1-0 lead, then was 1-1. And then all from there, about fifth inning on, it was all North Mac. They scored a couple runs about every inning and handled Litchfield pretty well and beat them 8-2.
And it was going to be a tough match for the Purple Panthers either way because, as we said, I mean, they were in a development year anyway. They've got a very young team. For a lot of the season, they've been starting 5 freshmen and sophomores, which, if you're not familiar with what's been going on this season or what happened last year or anything, you've been living under a rock. There was no high school sports last year, or high school baseball and softball last year, I should say. So the sophomores, basically freshman baseball players this year as well. So Litchfield, half their starting lineup for a better part of the year, freshmen or sophomores, and underclassmen.
And it seems to be that way with all of their sports. You know, their football program didn't really have a team put together, and they had a struggle to put the team together the last year before COVID, and just a lot of young sophomore freshman team, and hopefully here in the next few years they can put together some teams and be competitive.
Well, they are the football team continuing to increase in numbers at Litchfield, but they were still very young this year. They made the decision to not play a varsity football schedule. The correct decision, in my opinion, a wise decision on their part. We saw what happened to them a couple of years ago when they started majority freshmen, and it just was really ugly. So they played a JV schedule this year, I think ended up with 1 win. So, again, it was a development year for them, still a young team, but the numbers for the Litchfield sports programs improving. But we don't want to dwell too much on Litchfield. North Mac, congratulations to them. They were the top seed, expected to win, and they did so, defeating Litchfield. So they will play in the regional championship on Monday. Very good season for North Mac this year. They have a deep postseason run on their mind heading into regionals. It's going to be a tough matchup if they should win the championship on Monday, getting into sectionals just because a couple of teams they're going to run into in the sectionals. So once again, North Mac defeats Litchfield by a score of 8-2.
I believe that win was their 19th win. They've only lost one game this year.
Yeah, very, very good season for the North Mac Panthers. Another game you heard on WSMI, this one was our final game of the broadcast last night. Hillsboro defeated Gillespie by a score of 9-8. I don't remember what the seeding was for that game, what the matchups was.
I think Gillespie had a higher seed. I'm not sure. I don't know if it was a 3-6 or a 4-5.
They did have the higher seed because it was at Gillespie, and this year that's the way they were doing it, was the higher seed hosted the regionals. But I think you're right. It might have been a 3-6 matchup.
Hayden Grossenheider started that game, and he also had a home run in the game, so he was doing a little bit of it all.
I did hear that. Yeah, I was listening to it on my way home, yeah. Very, very, very entertaining game. Sean Blint had the call for that one. When he joins us, he'll be able to talk to us a little bit about it more, but congratulations to the Gillespie Miners on a good season. I know it didn't end the way they wanted to, but still a very good season nonetheless, especially in what is a difficult year for everybody in the sports world. But congratulations to Hillsboro as well. They move on to the regional championship. They will play Pena on Monday. That's a game you will hear on WSMI. That's going to be on AM 1540. We'll get your complete broadcast schedule here in just a moment. A game I had last night was a fantastic ball game. You heard it on the Ox. And it seemed like it was going to be a blowout early. Staunton defeated Carlinville. The final score was 14-13. The Bulldogs jumped out to a 3-0 lead in the first inning, then added 8 more runs in the top of the second to build an 11-0 lead. And right there, it was like, okay, this is not going to be much of a game, so we'll see how it goes. But in the bottom half of the second, Carlinville answered with 8 runs of their own to make it 11-8. And from there on, it was a close game. Staunton would score. Carlinville would answer. The Cavies eventually got it to within 1 run. Actually, Carlinville had the tying run and go-ahead runs on base in scoring position, as a matter of fact. Runners on second and third in the bottom of the sixth were not able to get those runs home and didn't provide much of a threat in the bottom of the seventh either. So congratulations to Carlinville on a good season again, much like Litchfield and Gillespie. I know it wasn't the way they wanted the season to end, but they still had a very good season. And congratulations to Staunton. They advanced to the regional championship on Monday. Yes.
And that game wasn't a football game.
No, it was not.
It was 14-13, but it was not a football game.
No, it was not. A couple of traditional football schools battling it out with a football score on the baseball diamond. And Sean Balint joins us now. Sean, we touched on the score of the Hillsboro-Gillespie game. A lot of high-scoring games around the South Central last night in general, including yours as well.
Yeah, it was... You talk about a tough game for Cameron Hailstone. I mean, you know, hits that 3-run bomb, and then he hits a big RBI double, and then made big plays in the field. You know, that just, you know, you watch an individual effort, and you know, it's just like he willed his team back into the game. And you know, it was Hillsboro took charge early, then all of a sudden, just Gillespie explodes, then Hillsboro explodes, and then you think, well, nice season, Gillespie. You think it's over. And then, you know, they were opportunistic. I mean, first they get the free passes, and then they pulled out the heavy lumber. I mean, guys were just attacking the ball yesterday. It was a fun baseball game to watch.
How many long balls did you have in your game?
I had two of them.
Two.
And the long ball, as you guys mentioned, from the Hillsboro starter, went deep, you know, went through some adversity. You know, Grossenheider, he had a kind of a rough patch in the middle. Went long distance, and you know how crucial that is in the postseason. It's no longer just an option. It's a matter of, it's, you know, baseball and the playoffs, and the IHSA is a war of attrition. And, yeah, he did a great job. And the club got through. Yeah. It was a heck of a ball game.
I've done my fair share of high school baseball and softball games. I had 8 home runs in my game last night. I've never seen that many in a game. Just
that's
amazing.
Not a baseball game. That's a field artillery battle.
Basically. I'm not kidding. It was reminiscent of watching a game at Wrigley Field when the wind is blowing out. I mean, it was just like is the park going to hold any of these fly balls? And eight of them flew out. It was nuts. And 14-13 was the final. Again, congratulations to Staunton. They'll play in the regional championship. I'm kind of going to ignore Donnie Downs. He's texting me about the Reds. Of course, they beat the Cardinals. We'll talk a little bit about that later on this hour as well.
Of course they beat the Cards.
And of course they beat the Cards.
Beat the Cards.
I know Donnie's listening.
Well, the last Cardinals still healthy. Turn out the lights.
Yes.
Yay.
So that is Sean Bellent and Gabe Osborne. I'm David Jenkins. We need to get to our first break here on Sports Saturday. We'll be back with more. Again, you're listening to Sports Saturday here on WSMI live from the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Butler. We are at the annual Old Time Tractor Show as well as the Bicentennial here at the Butler Fairgrounds. Stay tuned. We'll have more for you right after this on WSMI. David Jenkins, Sean Bellent, Gabe Osborne, live from the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Butler. We are here on Sports Saturday for the annual Old Time Tractor Show and the Bicentennial. Happy birthday, Montgomery County. 200 years old this year. Their technical birthday, Sean, I think was February.
Yep.
But obviously, who wants to hold an outdoor event in February?
And I know they tried to have them, well, like what they later had here a couple of months ago. I mean, a vicious cold blast, and that was a tough one. But, you can't exactly have a big event out at the fairgrounds, and especially in those conditions. That might have had to have like a version of the NHL Winter Classic.
Oh, yeah. It looked like we were going to have an early spring in March, and then it got cold in April and stayed cold in May. And really, even June 1st wasn't that warm either, so we're finally hitting the warm weather. I know we have a guest from the Old Time Tractor Show. Gabe's going to come in and put his headset on. He can introduce. We're kind of going to shift microphones around here. Again, we're at the annual Old Time Tractor Show. Gabe, you want to introduce who the guest is here?
We're not on the air right now.
Right? Yeah, we are on the air. Did you not want to be on the air?
I wanted to change something.
Oh, okay. Well, you two can go ahead and talk. Sean and I will talk while Gabe is straightening things out a little bit.
This is the magic of live radio. There's negotiation, and it's been
as long as we're remaining clean, we're fine. Just don't say anything inappropriate.
If you don't have any mail going to Washington, that's the key.
Absolutely.
With
so
your name on it.
Absolutely. Sean, you're going to be probably here for what, a good part of the day with the Bicentennial going on?
Well, it's a win-win situation. I have no social life, so, and I love history, so I'll probably just hang out here all day. And you know, and I've talked so much to Donna Yeske and Dr. Whitworth, most of us just call her Patty.
Yeah.
About this Bicentennial over the months, and it's fascinating. You know, I got to go through the Arts and Crafts Building yesterday, and I think I talked about this last night. I think with Gabe and Tim in the studio last night, while I heard myself in the background, I was kind of made you self-conscious. And I looked at this, and there was an exhibit at like the Missouri History Museum in St. Louis. I'm not here to talk about St. Louis, but they had like a big wall with this brilliant map made in 1867, where it was like the buildings were like drawn up in these 3D presentations, and there was like a big wall, and you just could imagine what the city was like at that time. And I walked in there yesterday, and it was one of those maps from, you know, the middle of middle of the 19th century. And boy, you know, really before photography equipment exploded, what they did with a pen was really amazing. And if you really want to take a trip back and picture when the courthouse stood over a much different time, a much different city in Hillsborough, and just what Montgomery County looked like in the past, that was neat. But you know, there's not just deep, older history, but like you go in there, Irish days, they've got all, Farmersville's got a great table, and they've got all these old Irish days programs, and you know, you're going to flip through, and there's nothing better. I remember we, on an old show I was on, we did a broadcast from a high school, and they brought out these old yearbooks, and the host of the show dug it out, and there's his dad's senior year in 1935, and he just got choked up.
Sure.
And that's the kind of stuff that happens out here. You know,
absolutely.
You're going to flip through, and you're going to see someone who passed in an old Irish Days program. I mean, obviously it's good times, but there's some neat stuff, and you really connect to your roots, and you realize this isn't just a place to lay your head at night. It's a place that matters to people. It's your identity. It's a special place, and they've done a fantastic job.
Sure thing. Gabe, you want to grab the mic and introduce our guest we have here?
Andy Theriak here with us today with the with the Tractor Show part of the Bicentennial, and this year it's the Montgomery County Tractor Show. Of course, in past years, it was the Hillsboro Old Time Tractor Show, but they thought, well, let's combine everything this year. And in a once-in-a-lifetime event like a bicentennial, it kind of makes sense. So what do we got going on today, Andy?
Well, today we got a little bit of everything going on. We're trying to get some tractors in here and stuff. We've got a few coming in here.
Give me the mic. There we go. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you.
There we go. Live radio.
Continue.
But I can go back a few years ago. I'm at when I had a tractor show in Caulfield and had a lot of guys helping me. And Gabe was a little bitty. He wasn't what six years old, and he would come over and help me, you know, with the tractor show. And then I had a lot of guys help me: Arlen Caston, Kent Spinner, Darren Spinner. The old boy just passed away. Irving. Jergeny.
Yeah.
Jergeny. He came over helping. Wayne Swanson. We lost a lot of old buddies like that. But today we're out here at the Montgomery County Butler Bicentennial thing. And we're going to have, probably tomorrow, we're going to have play a lot of games and stuff. Today, I think this place is going to be packed. We're going to back off just a little bit on the tractors because it's going to be crowded and everything, and we don't want to get anybody hurt or anything like that. And you know me, I'm for kids. I love to watch kids pedal these pedal tractors, you know, and they enjoy it, you know, and everything. But, Gabe, when you was real little, you know, you used to come over and we'd fry hamburgers
and
stuff.
Got involved, really, with when my grandpa was a part of it, yeah.
Yeah. Your grandpa, he would fry everything at Coffee and we had a good time. Now here we're all getting together. We're getting older. You're getting a little bit older.
That
these boys here is younger and everything. But you guys do a good job. I'm at WSMI. They do a real good job. And I tell you what, we've got some good tractors around here in Montgomery County. You take Darren Spinner's, it's got a nice International. I always say if it's not red, keep it in the shed. But those guys on the green, they always get after me, you know. And but there is some good-looking tractors around here. John Deere's, good ones. Wayne Jansen's got, he should be on this radio instead of me. I was helping Wayne, you know. Mm-hmm. And he puts on a good show, and you can see some of the stuff that he's got here and different things.
And it's nice to have the tractor show a part of this bicentennial because farming is so much a part of this county, has been since the beginning.
Yeah, and we don't know what we're going to do today. I don't know if I could get in one of them new tractors today, all them buttons you got to push and stuff like today. Back in my day, you had to hand crank and everything, and you went to the barn and you got a gunny sack and put straw in it so you'd have a nice seat to sit on, you know. And
now they got air ride seats.
Oh yes,
air conditioning, radio.
Just push that button and you know. I used to plow corn when I was young and everything. Today, they don't even do that, you know. But if I'd had something like that when I was young, you know, getting in about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and try to plow that corn and stuff.
Yeah, they can farm all day and all night now.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can.
All right, so we're out here at the Bicentennial event here in Butler at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds, and we're joined by Andy Theriak with the tractor show portion. And, of course, like you said, tomorrow, Sunday, is when you're going to do all the tractor games. So.
Yeah.
Some of those tractor games are almost like an Olympics of tractor shows, and around here I think it's about the only show that does a similar type of game. So multiple games going on tomorrow.
And Arlen Caston, he always has some good games and stuff like that and things. And like I say, we might play a few today, but it all depends and stuff like that.
So the tractors are in the horse arena part of the fairgrounds. That's right next to where you'll park here if you come in the main entrance, right next to where, well, here's the guy that we were wanting to talk to.
Wayne, come here.
We'll get him on here, Wayne Jansen. He's kind of the head honcho of everything here this year, so.
Yeah. I got, what do you call this, Mike-itis or whatever. No, that's not the word I'm looking for. What's the word?
Mike Fright.
Yeah,
Mike Fright.
You know.
That's all right.
So, I think you're going to have a big show out here.
I think so. From where we're at, all the tents and everything for the Bicentennial will be set up in the midway area normally when they have the county fair where they have all the rides. And I can see nothing but tents from here. I see the Hillsborough Lions Club will have their limited shakeups. Imagine Hillsborough's here with shirts. I know the city of Coffeen's going to be here. They're going to be selling Rata cutlery. Those proceeds go to their Christmas light fund when they decorate during Christmas. I think about every town might have a booth here along with anybody and everybody that wants to have a craft booth. So they've got all that going on here and more. Central Illinois Livestock Producers making ribeyes. That will be my first stop here for lunch probably. Just everything and more, and it's just finally nice to get outside for once.
Well, and the weather's cooperating too. There's not a cloud in the sky right now.
Cloud in the sky and about 75 degrees.
Yeah. Might get a little warmer as the day goes on, but it won't get too warm, I don't think.
Yeah.
So
just like a normal old settlers type of day.
Absolutely. So we're again here, Sports Saturday, live at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Butler, part of the annual Old Time Tractor Show. How many years is this now for the tractor show?
For Arlen Caston, it would be going on 25 years for Arlen Caston, to put it on.
Very nice.
And I hope Arlen keep doing it, next year, and stuff.
Yeah, and of course, had the hiatus last year as everything was put on hold last year. So it's just nice to get everything back together and back going. And as we were saying, David, at the station, everything's happening at once. We've got this. We've got baseball playoffs. We've got Macoupin County Fairs next week along with Irish Days. We're going to be busy.
Yeah, well, from a sports perspective, we've squeezed in like every single year-long sports season into a matter of like 3 months. I mean, you had football in February, basketball in February, I guess, football in March, and then now we're in baseball and softball, and can't forget wrestling and soccer and all the other sports as well. All been squeezed into a matter of like 3 or 4 months. So, yeah, because of not having any sports from March of last year to February of this year, everything got condensed really, really tight. So, but we are thankful to be able to actually have this stuff going on.
Absolutely. I've said multiple times, it's like we're busy, but I'd rather be busy than what we had last year.
Well, and it might actually help with turnouts as well for events like these, with not having anything to do last year, not being able to go to any of these things. You'll have fresh crowds who finally are able to get out of the house, get out and do things, especially outdoor events like this. They'll be able to have a lot of fun.
And there for the early part of the spring, we were like, is it ever going to stop raining? But now it's finally nice, and can't have a better day than right now.
Oh, absolutely. Again, we are Sports Saturday live from the Old Time Tractor Show and Montgomery County Bicentennial. We need to take a break. We'll have more after this here on WSMI.
Getting the kids to practice on time, remembering if it's your day to bring snacks, making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
See Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond.
Hi, this is Krista McGraw from Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Stop by Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield and experience the original stuffed deep dish pizza, also serving thin crust, pastas, sandwiches, salads, and more. Enjoy beer, wine, and now spirits as you dine in. Located right off I-55 next to the Hampton Inn in Litchfield and open every day from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Now delivering to the Litchfield area. Call 217-324-0707. Nancy's Pizza, your love for pizza just got deeper.
Hi, I'm Kelsey, Occupational Therapy Assistant at Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsborough Area Hospital. Our pediatric occupational therapy team utilizes play-based activities to help children develop skills needed for everyday function. From daily activities such as eating or getting dressed to hand coordination needed for buttoning and handwriting, I love to help each child discover new abilities and independence. Teamwork Rehab provides specialized care you can count on at Hillsborough Area Hospital.
We are back here on Sports Saturday on WSMI, live from the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Butler. We are here for the annual Old Time Tractor Show, as well as the bicentennial of Montgomery County. I want to go down our sports broadcast schedule for the weekend while we have a minute here. We will have high school softball on the broadcast stations today. It's the 2A softball regional championship game, Gillespie at Marquette from Alton, Illinois. You can hear that game being broadcast live at 10:50 this morning here on WSMI FM 106, as well as online at WSMIRadio.com. Cardinals baseball on the Tally Broadcasting stations today. The Reds continue their series in St. Louis. Donnie Downs is very pleased that the Reds have taken the first two of a four-game series. Cardinals will look to try and get back into that series today. That game can be heard this afternoon at 12:20 on WSMI AM 1540. FM 106.9 and 92.9. The Cardinals will wrap up their series against the Reds tomorrow. That game also at 12:20, again on AM 1540 and FM 106.9 and 92.9. Then Monday, we do have high school baseball regional championships. We have Staunton at North Mac. You can hear that game live at 4:15 on WSMI FM 106. And then Hillsborough at Pena. That game will be broadcast live on WSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9, and that game will begin at 4:15, or the broadcast will begin at 4:15. And, of course, all of our high school sports coverage can be heard online at WSMIRadio.com. Gabe, we have another guest from the Tractor Show here.
We've got Wayne Jansen, and talk to him for a little bit, and Wayne, you've kind of taken it over this year, so you've got Orange with you today,
yes.
Alice Chalmers.
Yep.
So,
yep. That's kind of what I grew up on.
Yep. Kind of. We talked to Andy a little bit about everything this year, and I'm sure you're glad, just as everybody else, to have a tractor show again.
Yes. Yeah. It was kind of a boring year last year.
It definitely was. Definitely was. And being a part of the bicentennial, you know, we were talking about the farming heritage of the mm-hmm. county. It goes back to 1821 when this county was started. So, and I'm sure you're involved with farming, been involved with farming for your whole life. So let's talk a little bit about what you guys do in your operation.
Okay. Well, I grew up just north of Effingham and on a farm. And then when I moved over here, I started helping a gentleman down south of Donaldson Farm. And I've been helping him ever since.
Yep.
And I still go back and help both my brothers on the home place.
Yep. And no matter where you are here in Illinois, it seems the farming heritage is the same. You know, everybody, they're proud to farm, and they're, you know, glad to be doing something with the land and everything like that.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, it gets in your blood, and it's just hard to get out of.
Exactly. Yep, definitely. I know from a fact in my family, not involved with farming, but my family farmed for years, so it's still in my blood as well. We were talking with Andy about the tractor show, of course, and the tractor games tomorrow.
Yes.
A lot of tractor games, kind of a few different games than normal. I know one of them is the commode toss. That one always makes me laugh. That's tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, I think actually Arlen Kasten, I think, is the one who came up with that idea. And it, you know, like you said, it started on the throne one morning.
Yep, and from what I know with that game, you've got to throw a roll of toilet paper into a 5-gallon bucket from the seat of the tractor.
Yep, and there is the toilet seat. You got the backboard to bounce it off of if you need it. So,
yep. So we'll have lots of fun, and that'll be out here tomorrow, of course, bicentennial here today. One day only here for the bicentennial. That's today till 7, but the tractor show will be today and tomorrow, both out here at the county fairgrounds. So thank you so much for joining us, Wayne.
All right.
Glad to have you. So.
Well, let's get back to your busy schedule. Yep. I know you got a lot to do.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Yep, thank you.
Again, come out anytime today. 11 to 7 is when the Bicentennial / Old Time Tractor Show is going on here at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds. I probably should just say it's the Montgomery County Bicentennial. The Old Time Tractor Show is part of it. I mean, yeah. It's all part of it
yeah,
today.
And there's also a car show, not to forget them. They're up the hill from where we're currently located. That's at the 4-H Park up around where they do the showing for 4-H during the county fair.
Coming up a little bit later here on Sports Saturday, in case you missed it yesterday, we will be re-airing the interview that Tim Mize and I did with Reed Detmers. Reed is a Nokomis native and one of the top prospects in baseball right now, pitching in Double-A for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, Orange County, California, pitching for the Rocket City Trash Pandas. Sean Bellent, what is your favorite minor league nickname?
Boy, that's up there. I would think the Mud Hens is the Toledo Mud Hens have always been high on the list, but that may move to the top of the leaderboard.
That's why I being a Cardinals fan, it bums me out that their minor league affiliates are all just some variation of a Cardinal.
Cardinal,
you do have the Chiefs, but
Cardinal, yeah. Redbird, Cardinal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know the Arkansas Travelers anymore. Yeah. That's long in the rearview mirror. And
Tennessee Smokies used to be one, and they're not there anymore.
And then the evil henchmen of the majors messing with minor league baseball, which I just think minor league baseball is such a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And, I'm glad Peoria survived. I'm glad Quad City survived, but yeah, I feel bad for those folks in Iowa. They got hit hard.
Yeah.
And yet you go to Field of Dreams and say Iowa's just the most wholesome, beautiful thing. So.
Well, and the Cardinals were supposed to play there last year against the White Sox. Obviously, COVID wiped that out. Hopefully, they'll get to the Field of Dreams will get to host another game here coming up. So we'll see. But
And that Field of Dreams, that's a good reference with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Ease is pain. They're talking about the trainer and the medical staff.
Boy, I tell you. They are in dire need of some pitching. They're in dire need of a lot of things right now, to be quite honest. But pitching, with Jack Flaherty being on the shelf, probably for a while, it's the one injury, of course, a strained oblique is what he has, that I can say that I have dealt with. I dealt with that a couple of times in high school. It is painful. Painful. Oh.
I can't even imagine. I mean, in a torque and twist business, oh.
Yeah. I couldn't move when I did it, so I can't imagine what they're – I mean, they're a lot more athletic than I am and ever was, so they can move a lot better than I could when I was hurt, but, man, it hurts.
And he did that batting.
Yeah.
And there's more and more people that are saying, oh, this is why we need the DH.
But I think it's coming. Yeah. The reason it's not in this year is all because of the collective bargaining negotiations that are coming up this offseason. So it's probably going to come next year.
I've got to be a baseball traditionalist. You know, there's more strategy in my mind when you put the pitcher in there. You know, who are you going to bring up as a pinch batter in case of a pitching matchup? Now you've got pitcher has to face at least three guys, and he could be getting shelled, and we could have a 14-13 game at that point.
I used to be in the same boat. I've softened on it now. I'm at this point, hitters don't really offer you, or pitchers don't really offer you anything at the plate anyway, so I'm kind of okay with having the DH. I don't like baseball, Major League Baseball, having a commissioner who does not like baseball.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Doesn't care
about it. I thought
it
was the funniest thing to have him at the World Series and just have him booed relentlessly when he gave out the trophy to the, I don't know, was it the Dodgers?
It was the Dodgers. It was
last year.
Rob Manfred. Well, he himself said that the trophy was just what, a hunk of metal?
Yes.
When the Astros cheating scandal happened. So he doesn't care enough about baseball. I mean, he was supposedly good at labor negotiations. That's why he got the gig, and we'll see how good he is because he's going to have a mess this offseason.
Well, good thing Tennessee Mountain Landis isn't in there. He'd have them all out like the eight men out.
Oh, well, it's like television. Like, oh, only 18-34 matter, and but I don't remember anyone in the 18-34 crowd like, oh, they put a runner on second base in the 10th inning? Count me in. Drop my smartphone. Drop whatever they think, you know, whatever the researchers think 18 to 34-year-olds like. I don't know.
I hope they don't continue that, the runner on second and extra innings into the postseason, because that would be it's kind of like the hockey shootout where it's okay in the regular season, but in the postseason, keep playing the overtimes. I could see it from baseball's perspective if they do that in the regular season, but keep the postseason as traditional as you possibly can.
The only time I like that is when the Cardinals are the away team.
Yeah.
Because then they win.
It's going to be interesting. The one change I do like they've made is the seven-inning doubleheaders. I think that's fun.
That's tough because, I mean, who wants to endure 2 9-inning games?
Right.
It's only concern is the stat aspect.
Yeah.
And, you know, a seven-inning no-hitter, well, that's not a no-hitter. Well.
Oh, yeah, apparently it's not.
Took that away from Bumgarner.
We learned that this year.
Yeah, it's got some thorny issues. And sometimes you think, well, was that well thought out enough? I don't know. But, yeah, I think 2 9-inning games, even twice, I don't know.
Well,
who's got time to sit through three-hour games with a three-hour break in between or whatever they do?
Sure, yeah. It would be one thing if it was like day-night doubleheaders where you had the early, 11 o'clock start for the first game, and then the second game didn't start till 7 o'clock. You have some break in there. So it is legitimately two games. But when you try to get 2 9-inning games as close together as you possibly can, that's when it gets to be a bit much. So the 7-inning doubleheaders works out really well. But baseball's a beautiful game, and I love baseball, and I don't like all the changes. But that could just be me doing the get off my lawn stuff.
Yeah, and with this double or this designated hitter in the National League, makes me excited for the fact that Albert could come back.
Hopefully, we'll see.
It'd be as we were saying, you know, off air and you know at the studio, him coming back would be ultimately, you know, that might seal the deal for him to retire as a Cardinal, because it just seems that the Angels kind of threw him away like an old piece of laundry. Just didn't really seem to care.
If you would have asked me a couple of years ago whose cap Albert Pujols would wear going into the Hall of Fame, I would have told you he wouldn't wear a logo on it. It would be logoless because he would feel a sense of devotion to the Angels and what Artie Moreno did to for him. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think those bridges are kind of burnt, although I've also heard that it might be more Joe Maddon for why Albert's not there than Artie Moreno, but nevertheless, it sure seems more likely he would go in as a Cardinal.
And it seems, as we've been talking before, you know, that was 2011 going into the 2012 season. You thought, all right, Albert's the biggest thing in baseball right now. And then, well, here comes this kid named Mike Trout.
Yeah.
And he kind of stole the show away from Albert. Albert didn't really have as many good season. Of course, he was injury-riddled in 13 and 14. So.
You know, and I saw him waddle like a penguin in his last days. Just seeing him go back to the dugout, I could just see, you know, I'm not and some sports guys I worked with just scoff, like, what do you know about news guy? Well, I started as a sports guy. But I can tell the guy's got a broken down lower half, and that, I appreciate that passion to play, and I'm not going to sit the game out, but sometimes you got to give it a rest. And he didn't over the years, and I could just, you know, if you can't move, you can't turn on a pitch the way you did, you know, in the early 2000s, and I think the Cardinals made a smart move. I also don't believe that fat contract. That was, I think we've seen that game in baseball, and people get upset. There are some people who still resent Albert for not re-signing. He turned down all this money, but I think there's that little habit of, well, we know Albert doesn't fit. This is a lot of money to pay. Yeah. There's no longer any marketing pizzazz you don't make money off. Everybody's already got their Pujols jersey.
Those people are fewer and fewer, though. I mean, you can tell by the ovation that he got whenever he returned for the first time a couple of years ago that he's still very much beloved in St. Louis.
I can't wait for the Dodgers to come to St. Louis. It'll be similar. I'm sure it'll be similar.
I still think there's a way to make a guy feel not wanted, and then he's out the door, and then, here's this giant contract, and then you win the PR game with the fans. You know, so it's tricky, but
I still don't know how happy Albert is with the Cardinals front office. I mean, you hear some of the interviews he's done over the years about his decision to leave St. Louis, don't forget the Cardinals in this last stint of free agency that Albert was in a few weeks ago. The Cardinals didn't even pursue him. I mean, he expressed interest in signing with the Cardinals, but the Cardinals, by all accounts, did not make any effort, actual effort, to go after him. And it was just for league minimum.
Especially when you got Yachty there saying, yep, we're going to join together? Are, yep, we going to get together again? So.
Well, the problem is they had Matt Carpenter. And no, you can't have, you essentially,
Albert,
couldn't have two of those guys.
Yeah, essentially, Albert is a right-handed Matt Carpenter.
Yeah.
The only thing Matt Carpenter had going for him is he had better exit velocity.
Realistically, the only thing Matt Carpenter had going for him is he can competently play multiple defensive positions. Well, I say competently, not really, but I mean, you can actually put him at second base and third base, and even if you wanted to, left and right field. But Albert is stuck at first base only. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yeah, like we said, lower half, it's good enough for him to make that run over to first base.
Oh, and Carpenter, what a strange career. I mean,
yeah,
high average through the roof one season, kind of slides back to earth. Power hitter,
yeah,
and slides back to earth.
5-for-5 game at Wrigley.
Not a power or average hitter.
Well, he's not, and it's me being very harsh on him because anyone who's ever listened to this program knows I'm not a Matt Carpenter fan. But he's not a very strong mental player, in my opinion. A lot of things can get to him very easily. He's not a good base runner.
No,
arguably one of the worst base runners in the history of the franchise. He does not make good decisions, does not have very good instincts, and he has always struggled to hit outside of the leadoff spot for whatever reason. Cannot hit if he's not in the leadoff spot, and then when he was finally not hitting in the leadoff spot whenever the Cardinals finally said, okay, you can't be a regular player anymore. We are live here at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Butler, the annual old-time tractor show, the Montgomery County Bicentennial. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI. David Jenkins, Sean Bullent, Gabe Osborne here at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Butler. We are live from the annual old-time tractor show as well as the Montgomery County Bicentennial. We'll have more coverage of this throughout the morning. But right now, in case you missed it yesterday, we're going to replay our interview with minor league baseball player Reed Detmers, who used to pitch for Nokomis High School, graduated from Chatham Glenwood after pitching there for one season. But Tim Mize and I joined Reed earlier this week, and we were very pleased to do so. WSMI FM 106, David Jenkins joining you here on WSMI alongside Tim Mize. And joining us on the phone right now is Reed Detmers, a Nokomis native and a current professional baseball pitcher. He's in AA pitching for the Rocket City Trash Pandas. Reed, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Before we get into how your professional debut went this season and everything, last time we spoke to you was days after you got drafted. You got sent to the alternate site last year. Can you tell us a little bit about what that experience was like, what went on at the alternate site for Major League Baseball?
Just went to the field every day around noon, got your workout in, got your playing catch, your PFPs, your whatever you need to do to get ready for the day. And then later on that day, we would play a scrimmage against each other, against our own team, like an inner squad. And then that was pretty much it, and we did that for 3 months.
And now you find yourself in Double-A in the first full minor league season in over a year. And, Reed, we always hear the term learning to be a professional. I guess you're in that phase right now, first month in pro ball. Just talk a little bit about that process and the difference between being a high-level college player and a professional pitcher.
It's just learning how to treat your body. In college, like, they pretty much have a set schedule for you. You have to work out here. You have to do these certain things. You have to do these certain arm care routines. Here, I mean, you don't have to do anything. It's your own career. So they just expect you to do it, and that can be kind of hard on some guys if they don't really know what to do. So you have to ask a lot of questions. You have to pretty much make yourself do it if you aren't used to doing it, if that makes sense. But yeah, I would say that's the only thing. Just really figuring out how to treat your body so you feel good. Not only right now, but in 4 months. How are you going to feel in 4 months? You might feel good right now, but who knows how you're going to feel in 4 months when we're still playing. So that's pretty much the main thing. The other stuff is pretty simple. It's just baseball stuff. Everybody pretty much gets that.
And really, I guess that's where the work ethic comes in, huh? Because when you're in pro ball, everybody's talented, and the guys who don't put in the work, they flame out, and those guys who are willing to put in the work, they're the ones who wind up making it to the big leagues and beyond. Talk a little bit about the work ethic, though, that was instilled in you from a very early age.
I mean, my dad, he played, obviously, so he taught me at a young age to always outwork your opponent, and so I kind of took that to heart. I started doing stuff at a pretty early age, early high school, if not younger. And it just kind of stuck with me. I took that to college and just did what I needed to do. Now, since I did that in college, I feel like I have a little bit more an advantage on some guys. And just being able to take what I know and put it all together and just see what happens.
You officially made your professional debut this season. Were you nervous at all for that first game? What were some of the emotions you had leading up to that first day when you made your first start?
I wouldn't say I was nervous. I was definitely amped up. Obviously, it didn't go the way I wanted it to. I wish it would have went a little bit better, but this stuff happens. But, yeah, I mean, I was amped up. I was ready to go. I was probably a little too amped up. But, yeah, it was a fun time. I wouldn't ask for anything different. Just the guys around, like my coaches, everybody, just they kind of just like knew that wasn't me. They just kind of helped me up and pat me on the back and said, "You'll get it next time." So that's kind of what happened, and it was fine.
And Reed, some guys when they're in the minor leagues, the numbers really matter in terms of the organization seeing what they're doing. Like, okay, that guy's progressing. You're the top pick in the organization, so I'm just curious. The numbers for you in the minor leagues aren't necessarily what you're focused on or what the organization is going to be looking at. It's more the process. How do you look? How do you feel?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'd still like to have good numbers.
Sure.
I think every pitcher would like to have good numbers no matter where they're picked at. But I'm going out there trying to compete every game. I'm not going to have a good day just based off numbers. Like, I want my stuff to be good. I want to get out. I want good things to happen. I want to feel good. So that kind of goes back to the routine I have, the preparation, the taking care of the body. And so far, I've felt great. Arms have been feeling good. Body's been feeling really good. So I'm just trying to stay healthy and just keep competing.
We're speaking with Reed Detmers. Again, he's a pitcher for the AA Rocket City Trash Pandas down in Rocket City, Alabama. Are you proud to be a Trash Panda? Did you know what that was when you made your debut with them?
Yeah, I mean, actually, last year when they announced they were going to be a team, a couple of us were like, thought it was pretty cool. No one knew who was going to go here, obviously, so no one really got their expectations up. But yeah, I mean, once I found out I was going here, I mean, that was pretty cool. Just everything here is super nice. The logo, I'd never even really heard of a trash can, to answer your question. But once I got here, I learned quickly what it was. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool.
Reed, talk to us a little bit about life in the minor leagues. You know, there's all sorts of stories you hear people talk about what it's like on the road in the minor leagues. A bus trip in AA, a bus trip in high school, is a bus trip a bus trip, or is it it's different?
It's definitely different. High school, like the longest trip you'll have is maybe an hour. Honestly, it hasn't been too bad. We've had a couple bus trips already. The longest one was to Pensacola, and it was only 5 hours.
Only.
So that wasn't terrible. But, I mean, it's just different. we're on three buses and stuff, all packed on one. So you have a little bit more room. You can lay out if you want to. You have guys listening to music, playing cards. I mean, just having a good time. Those are the things you remember are the bus rides. So, I mean, yeah, it's a lot different than high school and college, but it's still pretty cool.
Now, have you looked ahead? Do you know, like, what will be the longest bus ride that you wind up going on, do you think?
I'm not really sure. I would assume it would be Pensacola, the five-hour one.
Yeah.
Everything else is in Tennessee or Mississippi or here in Alabama. So, yeah, I would say Pensacola.
What have you noticed about the hitters you're facing this year as opposed to facing college pitchers? Now you're facing guys who are trying to earn their living.
Yeah, it's different. A lot better than most college hitters. I would say they're a little bit more advanced, but you still got to go out there and pound the zone. If you get ahead early, you're going to make your life a lot easier. If you get behind in the count, you're going to be struggling. It's going to be a lot more stressful, and it's going to be tough to get those easy outs. So they're just up there trying to compete, just like I'm up there trying to compete on the mound. They're just fouling everything off, waiting for that one pitch to put in play. If they don't get it, they're not going to swing. So that's the main thing, just really pounding the zone so you can get those easy, quick outs. Like I said, if you don't do that, it's going to be pretty stressful.
Are you even now in the minor leagues trying to think of, okay, I want to pitch like I will in the big league, so a 2-0 count's not an automatic fastball?
No. I mean, I'm out there trying to get out any way possible. I mean, I look at scouting reports before the game and sometimes during the game, and I'm just going off what I see, what my catcher sees, and pretty much just attack their weaknesses. But at the same time, you still have to pitch to your strength. So that's pretty much the main thing you got to do. Pitch to their weaknesses, but also at the same time pitch to their strengths, which can be kind of hard at sometimes. But for me, it's a little bit easier because I'm mainly fastball. I throw a lot of fastball, so it's a little bit easier. And then I can catch them off guard with the slider, changeup, or curveball. So that's kind of my way of attacking most hitters, not all hitters, but most hitters.
And Reed, I guess that's going to be maybe a constant battle during your career because analytics is everywhere in baseball. So finding that healthy balance of just what you said, my strengths versus the hitter's weaknesses, because, man, you've got as much information, maybe too much information, more information than you even want. I don't know.
Right, yeah. I agree. The amount of information that goes back and forth between us and the coaches is pretty insane. I honestly don't like a lot of it just because I don't know, certain things. Like, I don't know what happened. I do like a little bit of it, though. I like their first pitch swinging. I like their swings and misses in the dirt and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, I try to keep it pretty simple. I know a lot of guys like to see all of that stuff, but for me, I just try keeping it simple and just really use the game as a scouting report. Like the first couple innings, see what they're trying to do, see their swings, and then adjust from that.
So you don't care what a guy's batting average is on Tuesday between 2 and 4 on the second week of June?
No.
Again, we're talking with Reed Detmers, pitching in Double-A this season right now.
Reed, obviously you've got a bunch of people back home pulling for you, all sorts of kids now wanting to be, aspiring to be the next Reed Detmers. What do you say to all your family, friends, and fans back here at home who are following your every move?
Yeah, I'll just say thank you guys. I appreciate you guys a lot. I see all the text messages and Twitter tweets and everything you guys send out, so it's pretty cool. Yeah, I just appreciate you guys. And to all the kids, just have fun. Just go out there and play the game that you love. Don't try to overdo it. Just go out there and have fun, and good things will happen.
Reed, thanks again for taking a few minutes out of your time to speak with us today. I don't know what the schedule of a minor league baseball player is or a professional baseball player is, but I do appreciate you taking at least a few minutes out of your schedule to talk to us today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Again, that is Reed Detmers, a Nokomis native and current pitcher in the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim farm system. That's going to do it for me and for Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106. We will have continued coverage here from the Montgomery County Fairgrounds leading up to our broadcast of the Gillespie Marquette softball game. That game will be broadcast at 10:50 this morning here on WSMI FM 106. But for this brief moment, for Sean Valent, John Michael Marty, Gabe Osborne, this is David Jenkins saying so long. We'll rejoin you here in a couple minutes.